Things that happened with us the last 2 weeks that God will use in our lives to make things happen that will be part of our testimony. Against my best judgment and desire, my boss told me to speak today about defeating alcoholism and drunkenness. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, you do realize you have a baptism going on, right? Right, so what? You're not telling me how to run my church? No, sir, it was never my intention to teach you how to run your church. But I mean, leave it alone. I just thought it would be nice to have something about baptism, church membership. So my ears were pulled. Since when you tell me how to run my place? I'm not telling you, my Lord, how to run. I just thought. I don't want to know about your thoughts. That's all right. So I got ready. And I was shocked to discover what I discovered this past week. Just on purpose, I decided to Google drunkenness in the life of college students. And the misery that exists on the life of these college students is beyond measure. I came to the realization that many children who are being oppressed by the spirit of Belial will make sure that once high school is over, they will go to the farthest college possible. We are on the East Coast. They will try to go to Alaska's college or California so they can stay away as far as possible from home where they can give place to the spirit of Belial. And I know that some of the stuff I'm going to say here is against your religion. So I just want you to listen first before you get upset. All right? And every time I'll give you a thought, I'll give you a scripture to back it up. Amen. There is an epidemic out there today. And unfortunately, it's affecting the church too. It's so sad to see how, especially the girls, when they go to college, unfortunately, Satan will send a best friend to them who happen not to be a godly person. And girls that never drunk before, one day is persuaded by their best friend to go out to a bar or to a party in somebody's place. And there they get drunk. They get raped, they get molested, they get abused, and life is no longer the same. The spirit that works on drunkenness is the spirit of Belial, and is one of the most disgusting demons on planet Earth. Alcoholism and drunkenness are strongholds or evil spirits that work under the power and leadership of Belial. You may be wondering, who in the world is Belial? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:15. I don't think I gave you that scripture, Brother Harry, but can you put up there 2 Corinthians 6:15? The New King James is good. If people would understand and realize the miseries and the disgrace that our alcoholism and drunkenness bring to the families, we would never have. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. People would never, ever, ever, ever even have a bottle of alcohol in their homes. Read it with me. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Here Paul mentions Belial. And this is literally how it is pronounced. Who is Belial? The meaning of this word, as found in this scripture here, is worthlessness, recklessness, lawlessness. Is anybody listening to me? Belial means worthlessness, recklessness, lawlessness. The expression, for example, son of Belial or man of Belial must be understood as meaning a worthless, lawless fellow. In this context here, it is understood as an appellative of Satan, the personification of all that is bad. Belial in the Hebrew New Testament means without profit. Without profit. Something that you can get no profit out of this. Worthless. By extension, it also means wicked, and wickedness and destruction. Evil, naughty, ungodly, wicked. The word Belial usually is connected with another word. Belial is a compound of word. The first word is belly, which means failure, nothing, and destruction. Without, because not, corruption, ignorance, lack of. That's belly. The word al is the Hebrew word babkok, which means bottle. From gurgling until it gets empty. Is anybody listening to me here? Yeah. Belly is worthless or failure, nothing, destruction. Al means a bottle, like a beer bottle. It also means the gurgling until it gets empty. It means curse. And a curse properly and ready to ascend. Belial is a spirit of destruction that will lead people to be enslaved to a bottle and sip it up until it's empty, which in turn leads them to a life of worthlessness, a life of recklessness, a life of wickedness, without any profit, followed by destruction, leaving that person with nothing, with corruption, with ignorance, with lack. Are we still together here?
Yes.
I told you that I would give you a scripture to prove what I'm saying. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, we read the following. Read it with me. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Pay attention. I want you to think about what just happened here. Here's a woman grieved. plagued by sadness and sorrow. And in the midst of that difficulty situation, she did the best thing that any Bible believer can do. Instead of calling her girlfriend on the phone and whining, crying, and complaining, she went to the house of God. Amen. Poured her soul in the presence of God. And it was something so deep, so intimate, that no voice could be heard. But yet her lips moved. Is that correct? Now, this guy that is sat in charge of the church, the house of God, was a little out of touch. He couldn't think or see, hey, maybe she's praying. He thought she was drunk. I want you to get drunk, 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 drunk. You got that?
Yes.
Well, verse 14 says, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Boy, you're so out of touch. Put your
wine away from you.
Notice he didn't say vodka. Or whiskey. Or beer. He said wine. Now you're going to say, are you preaching against wine? Don't be silly. I haven't even started preaching yet. But some people will get hooked up on that scripture that Paul says, drink a little wine, it's good for your stomach.
Yeah.
And they will have 2, 3, 4, 5 bottles of wine. Some of them has a cellar in their house. Right? It's okay to drink wine. The Bible says to drink. No, Paul says drink a little wine that is good for your stomach.
Yeah.
We're still together here, right? So he says in here for her to put away the wine, which tells me that wine can get people drunk.
Amen.
You may be thinking, what does it got to do with Belial? Stay with me. Verse 15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. Let me stop right here. Ladies, when the time comes to your life that you have a sad and sorrowful spirit, the best thing that you can do is not to drink wine, or beer, or liquor, or vodka, whatever it is that you drink. The best thing you can do is to go to the house of God and pour your soul before your Lord. She said, dude, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman with a sorrowful spirit. She said, I have drunk neither wine nor beer or intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's going to be times that you're going to be in church, you're pouring your soul before the Lord, and people will think that you're doing something else.
Amen.
You didn't get that. Verse 16. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken to you now. You say, well, I don't see what you're trying to say. Brother Harry, may I have the King James on this scripture here? Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Are you still with me?
Yes.
So somebody may be thinking, well, preacher, you got me lost here. What is the connection? This dude is thinking that she's drunk. Is that correct?
Amen.
She's not. She's putting her soul before God. Then he tells him, do not count me as a daughter of Belial. Now, what did we just said about Belial? Worthless, reckless, lawless, that we use a bottle and sip it to the end. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So what you're saying, preacher, that Belial is associated with alcoholic use, alcoholic abuse. The spirit of Belial operates through alcohol and drunkenness. Drunkenness is a way to break down the morals and open people up to lust and perversion. Personally, I believe that the spirits of alcohol and drunkenness operates under that strong man that Jesus spoke, the strong man of Belial. It is a known fact that many children of alcoholic parents are often the victims of sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and in some cases, they are victims of incest. I believe that alcohol can also open the door for the spirits of rape, including date rape, which is so prevalent in our society today, especially in college campus. And I got so disgusted when I Googled that. So many beautiful young ladies of all colors. When the dude can't get them, they take them to a party, get them drunk, and then they rape them. And next morning they wake up without knowing what happened. Who raped me? The spirit of destruction. The spirit of perverseness. You say, preacher, I don't know. I think you're pushing. You really think that? Let's go to Proverbs 23. Starting on verse 31. Proverbs 23, starting on verse 31. May I have the New King James, please? Do not look on the wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. I want you to follow me here on this one. Next verse. At the last, it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Are you following me so far? Let's go to the next verse. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. And I know some of you may already be upset because this is against your religion. What's wrong with a cup of wine? Ask God. He put that on the Bible. These verses shows the connection of the spirit of perversion to drunkenness. Did anybody hear what I said? This verse shows the connection of the spirit of perversion to drunkenness. So do you know what the word pervert means? It means to cause, to turn aside. To cause, to turn away from what is good and true. To cause to turn away to what is morally right. To corrupt. To cause to turn away or to turn aside from what is usually done in good manners and is accepted by all. So what you're saying, preacher? Sexual perversion has become rampant in our nation on our days with the promotion of homosexuality and lesbianism, and is becoming acceptable as an alternate lifestyle.
Right.
These are perversions according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Spirits of perversion, including but not limited to homosexualism, lesbianism, operates under the strong man Belial. And in the Word of God, it is referred as sodomy, which I can't go through this right now. It's another topic for another day. Sodomites were temple prostitutes who were part of the worship of the idol gods of fertility in Canaan. And Baal was the chief god. These vile acts were part of the idol worship among the Canaanites. The spirit of drunkenness, which operates under the power of Belial, will pervert, will corrupt people's way of thinking to the point that they will feel worthless. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying here?
Amen.
Maybe you want a preacher. What are you trying to go? In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, and then 22, we have again Belial at work in the life of church people. And this is what I want to address today. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. When the spirit of Belial is working on a congregation, things get corrupt. Corrupted. Are we together so far? So what you're saying, preacher? The sons of Eli represents ministry. They, along with Eli, were in charge of the priesthood, regulating the temple, and they were in charge of the sacrifices of Israel. You still together with me, right?
Yes.
Now listen to verse 22. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Now, Belial, the spirit of drunkenness and alcoholism, is a perverted spirit. And once again, the spirit of Belial corrupted the priesthood, the sons of Eli, and now they are laying with the women at the door of the tabernacle. You still with me, right? Their abuses brought judgment of the Lord upon them and upon the establishment. God then had to institute a new order under Samuel. The sons of Eli are called sons of Belial. They were being motivated and controlled by the spirit of Belial. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2, starting on verse 33. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of your age. Next verse. Now, this shall be a sign to you that will come upon you two sons, on Ophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Next verse. Then I will rise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly position that I may eat a piece of bread. God is pronouncing a curse upon the house of Eli because his children were corrupt. His children were wicked. They were led by the spirit of Belial. One of the works of Belial is to bring uncleanness into the temple of God. Did anybody hear what I said? The ministry is a target of the spirit of Belial. He desires to draw the servant of the Lord, the people that has been separated to position of leadership in church. He desires to draw them into sin, especially sexual sin. Why? To bring reproach to the church. These priests were also guilty of greedy in making themselves, according to 1 Samuel 2:29, fat with the best of all offerings of Israel. Listen to verse 2:29. What does it say? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings which I have commanded in my dwelling place and honor your sons more than me to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? You know, it's sad to say that many churches out there in this town, in this very own town, have leaders that are controlled by the spirit of Belial. Evil is spirit, where there is greedy. I had a preacher waiting to come in here recently. And I'm not going to call his name because half of you will know who this preacher is. And he wants us to give him a suite on a Hilton, can't be at a hotel, for himself, and a room for his proteges who carry his briefcase. I've got to send him $5,000 in advance, and he will bring his tapes, his CDs, his books, put on the back, and they will collect their own offering. I said, sir, I think you're calling the wrong church.
Is this Baltimore Christian Faith Center?
Yes, it is. Let me speak to the pastor. I don't think you're going to change his mind. Who are you? I said, the man placed in charge of this house. Well, Pastor, you know who I am. I felt like, say, I lost the desire to know you. But I didn't. I tried to be polite. So while he's talking, I'm Googling him. Voila. I said, preacher, doctor, apostle, blah, 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 blah. I said, preacher, listen carefully. I spoke to my Lord this morning, and he never mentioned your name. Number two, if you will ever come to this congregation, God has to give me the okay, and you will not get $5,000 in advance, and you're going to say at Howard Johnson. He hung up on me. And I'm like, what a weasel. Oh, and he wanted also a rental car paid by the church with insurance. The spirit of Belial, when they are operating in churches and ministers, causes them to want to get fat at the cost of God's people. Chapter 2:17 says, their sin was so great that the Lord abhorred their offering. Read it with me. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men. Are you with me here? So you may be thinking, preacher, what is your point? In chapter 2:25, you find something very interesting. Read it with me. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. So what is your point? The spirit of Belial had corrupted this boy so much that God wants to kill them. God judged their sin with death. There's no reason for this kind of activity, especially from those who are in ministry. God forbids men of God to lie with women in the congregation. End of story. And yet I could tell you the name of at least 12 preachers in this town that were leading the choir, worship leaders that slept with somebody on the choir. The sons of Eli did not know the Lord, as we saw in 2:12. And yet they were in charge of the house of God. Be careful who you interact with. I'm talking about spiritual leaders. Let me tell you this, folks. True prophets, true evangelists, true apostles, true pastors and teachers knows the Lord. They also know that there are moral standards by which God's servants are expected to live. In Hebrews 13:4, we are told clearly that whoremongers, is that right? Let's read it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now sometimes I wonder, why are you still in a congregation where you know that the mess is going on? Those leaders are bringing destruction upon themselves and curse upon the house of God. Because Belial's intention is to bring shame into the church and disperse the flock. God told Eli, 1 Samuel 3:13, the following words. Read it with me. For I have told him forever. You see what I'm saying? If God forbid one day I would have become a drunkard, I'm expecting you to kick me out of the place. Well, but we love you. This is part of love. Tough love. When we know that something wrong is going on and we say nothing, we are guilty as much as the one who are sinning. And this is what Belial wants to do. He wants to destroy. He wants to bring worthlessness. He wants to bring perversion into the kingdom of God. This verse tells us the Lord considered their act vile. And one translation says that his sons were bringing curse upon themselves. Brother, do we have the RSV on the computer? We do not. Can you give me the ESV? Do we have the ESV? The ESV says it better than anybody. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Folks, the work of Belial is to cause man to get involved in sins that are abomination before God and then bring the curse of God upon their lives. How many children today grew up to become sick men, debilitated children, because the spirit of Belial, the spirit of drunkenness and alcohol were present in the life of their parents. And the damage that they caused with their words and their actions caused damage beyond repair. So what is the point, preacher? I am praying to God that none of us under the sound of my voice are a slave of alcohol, wine, or beer. Amen. And if you are, we will pray to break that curse, because you deserve better. Amen. You have a new Lord. And He wants you to have a new life. Amen. And God wants us to be an example for our children. Families who are addicted to wine or beer or vodka, whatever it is, can't expect much of their children because they won't know better but what they see on their household. I'll say this to you with godly fear and godly pride. None of my children will ever be able to say that they ever saw me or my wife with a beer can or a beer bottle, not even sipping wine. I hate alcohol with a passion. Alcohol will cause you to see strange things. That's what Proverbs said. Alcohol will cause you to blaspheme against God, because this is what Belial does. Alcohol will cause people to do things that they wouldn't do ordinarily, and then bring shame and worthlessness. But I've got good news. Jesus said, "Whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed." The Bible said that in Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers. Because greater is He that is in us than Belial and all kind of beer that is out there. Again, the work of Belial is to cause men to get involved in sins that are abominable, and bring the curse of God upon their lives. In Romans 1:32, and I'm getting ready to wrap up, we found something very interesting. Would you care to read it with me? Who? Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. So what you're saying, preacher? What sins does Paul mention that are worthy of death? The answer is simple. Idolatry, homosexuality, lesbianism. And I'm not stating that every person involved in this kind of sins should be put to death. That's not what I'm saying. Did you get that?
Yes.
Thank God for mercy. Salvation is offered to all lesbians, homosexuals, and idolaters.
Amen.
Jesus died and shed his blood to save even them. And I'll tell you here that I'll be the first one to put my hands on the shoulder of any twisted person that is either a homosexual or a lesbian or an idolater that wants to turn around, repent, and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That person will not only be forgiven, that person will be delivered.
Amen.
However, the judgment of God does come upon those who, through a hard and impenitent heart, will not repent. Listen to Romans 2:5. Last scripture of the morning. Romans 2:5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judge, judgment of God. So what's the point, preacher? Let me wrap up this morning by saying this. Belial has no business in leading you and I to the wrath of, into the wrath of God. Say amen.
Amen.
It is God's desire for you and I to live a life of victory. And we will continue because of time constraint here. It is not God's desire for you and I to raise a family under the power or leadership of Belial or alcoholism and drunkenness. And if by any means there is somebody in this room that finds themselves enslaved, you just can't go a day without a beer. And then you end up taking a six-pack. Chances are that 3 years down the road, you're going to have a 12-pack. 10 years down the road, you have a 10-pack. I mean, a 20-pack. 50 years down the road, you have no liver. And you will die as a result of alcoholism use. God wants you and I to enjoy life. And there is no joy in alcoholism. Most of the people that are involved in alcoholism is because they don't have the guts to face their reality. And then they get drunk and they start saying nonsense under the excuse that they are drunk. Some are just weak. But there is power in the blood of Jesus to set any alcoholic free. You don't have to remain under the spirit of Belial. You don't have to remain under the spirit of alcohol. You know, I think drinking is so stupid. Somebody was telling me that when you go to a restaurant and you take a sip, you know, a shot on wine, it costs like $10. So what? So if you take three sips, three shots, it's $30, right? Plus your food. I've had three people telling me that the money in the restaurant business is on the salary. It's on the bar. Now, I always thought that drink was stupid and dumb. But now with this new knowledge, I'd say drinking is super stupid and super damn. Why would you allow yourself to be controlled by Belial when the Spirit of God wants to control you?
Amen.
Why would you allow a spirit of worthlessness, lawlessness, control you when you are precious in the eyes of God?
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
Why? Why? Let me finish by saying this. God wants to set you free. So if there is anybody here that is enslaved and you're kind of ashamed to come forward, that's all right. Come early tonight. Go into my office and I will pray for you.
Amen.
And we will break that curse. In the name of Jesus. God wants you to live a sweet life. Brother Harry, can you put up there? I want to do a prayer for these folks here right now. Luke 21:34. Please. Oh, we forgot that. Okay. Luke 21:34. And after we read that scripture, I want you to pray a prayer with me. All right? Read it with me. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that they come on you unexpectedly. Would you pray with me, all of you? Bow your heads. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence and I ask you to help me to listen to the word in your word. Help me to take heed, lest my heart be weighed down with drunkenness and cares of this life. Keep me focused on living for you so that I am not caught in the Belial snares to cause me to be unprepared when the day comes unexpectedly. In the name of Jesus,
I break from my life
every curse, every leftover, every influence of alcohol that came from my ancestors back to four generations. In the name of Jesus, help me, Father, to live and conduct myself honorably in the name of Jesus. I renounce drunkenness. I renounce immorality. I renounce debauchery. I renounce sensuality. I renounce quarreling and jealousy, all results of drunkenness. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.